random things here today. If the Holy Ghost can connect them all together, that's great. I'm trusting that he is the origin and the inspiration, but we'll find out in the end. Since there was, in our early years, a vacancy of a father in the household, mom trying to discipline or take care of five kids, we could get out of hand at times. She was short. We eventually outgrew her. But before we did, in an effort to maintain control, there were times she would have to solicit some help. Now, I remember one particular time. I may have been in my early teens, and she was between husbands. I don't know what I did. It must have been more severe than regular things. Because she called Uncle Don. Said, I'm bringing Larry over. Now, I'm pretty sure I'd entered the teen years. You know, when you begin to feel like you're really 20, but you're only 12. The visual is so strong. I can see him and I descending down to the den of his home. Him carrying a ping pong paddle. I'm pretty sure he talked to me and said some things to me. Told me what he had to do. And he did it. And I have to tell you, I resented that. To this day, I kind of think if he would have been my dad, it would have been different maybe. But he wasn't. He was my revered uncle spanking me with a paddle. I resented it. To this day, I carry feelings. I can't do anything about it. He's now passed on. But, you know, you're negotiating through your childhood, and your thoughts are being shaped and formed, your perceptions, your ideals. And so incidences like that that you pass through, they mark you. You don't realize how they mark you, but they do. And so I still wondered as I was sitting there, had that corrective measure been given to me by a parent, by my dad, would it have affected me differently at that stage? Now, I did get some opportunities with my dad. When we left Germany, I don't know who did this, but somebody, we were in Germany for 3 years, lived on an Air Force base. And one of his friends crafted him a paddle out of redwood. It's about yay long. Drilled holes in it so you could hear the wind whistle. I'm sure it was all for effect. Another set of holes inscribed a name, Red Devil Schoonover. And that was in the corner against a post. Always we could see and know it was there. But here's the thing. The majority of our days were not spent with our father. We would only go down for visitation. And if we got trouble on visitation, and it was so severe he had to bring out the Red Devil, and he said, drop your drawers. Now, I learned after a while, if you didn't cry, you were going to get another one. It just seemed that was the equation. He wasn't going to stop until there was an expression. things that you have to endure as a child at times. Well, anyway, I remember resenting that. And let me tell you why. You're never around. What do you mean? You're not even raising me. Who do you think you are whipping me? Thoughts that I don't know where they came from. But again, in your childhood rearing years, your development processes are taking place and your perception in life. And so therefore, after my situation with my uncle, and then my situation with my dad, whom I did not live with, only visited, I suppose there were some resentments that took hold in me that I had to qualify anybody that was going to exercise any authority in my life. Therefore, when I got a job, it was a tough road for me to work out. Other people would say, you gotta obey. Did you have to use that word? You know, I liked words like instruction, guide, teaching. And it took a process of time in my life as an adult to come to an understanding and embrace the idea of covering an authority in my life and how I was to respond to those in authority in my life. You know, you get the most practice showing up at work every day, whoever your supervisor is. But if you come to the Lord and you find yourself involved in a body of believers that teach the Word of God, then you begin to see that it is kind of peppered with this word authority and obedience and those that rule over you. Wow, that's a strong statement. And so you have to decide how are you going to receive that and how is it going to play a role in your life, okay? I remember I started a business with a friend, went into a partnership, and there were things that developed in that partnership that I began to become uncomfortable with, and so I called for a meeting with my pastor. Went and sat down in a restaurant and shared the details. He had a funny look on his face. He said, "Well, if you'd asked me, I could have told you." In other words, I could have helped you avoid this trouble had you inquired and asked. Do you realize that was a new concept to me at that moment at that table? You mean I should have came and talked with you about before I went into business in this partnership? And it wasn't about the person. It was about the idea of a partnership. Okay. Because he'd been through situations in life and he could have helped me. I still wasn't sure on how to receive that. But I thought, I think he was trying to give me some wisdom. I think I'll do that differently next time. But anyway, life went on. I'm sure it takes longer for some than others. But, you know, I've observed individuals who've come up in life where there was always somebody there in authority, or we can overuse that word, I know that, all right, in charge. There was somebody else in charge. And so their life wasn't regulated by their own inspirations. There was a lot involved in those individuals that were in charge. And usually it was the need for permission. I just never went looking for a lot of permission. I usually just lived with a lot of consequences. Now, I noticed in riding with some of my grandkids in the car, a statement that would surface that is kind of cute. These are Lauren and Caleb's kids. You can tell what kind of teaching has taken place in the home trying to regulate five, okay? Every once in a while, they'll talk about something, and then one will say to the other, that's not approved. Did you really say that? What do you mean? It's not approved. Like, in our household, that is not approved material. Or that's not approved music. So you get the picture that they've been taught. They've got to get approval. And so every once in a while, they'll ask us, is this approved? I'm thinking like, text your dad. But I see a security in that. I see a security in the child, which will become an adult, who walks through life realizing there's things in life that they should seek approval for and submit to their oversight. In this case, it's parents. But again, I came from a different end of the spectrum. The only one that we had to go to was my elder sister holding the spatula and the remote. She governed the household. Mom had to be working every day because there was nobody else. And so we kind of self-regulated. And so we're trying to work our ways through life, figuring out things on our own. And so oftentimes living with the consequences of choices made. In ministry, we've never taken a position of really governing people's lives. But as counselors, as advisors, as ministers, when appealed to, for the most part, what that means is, look, I'm not going to get involved in your business unless you ask me. And then I will. But every once in a while, you got to override that. That may be the model, and that's a good concept. But you know what? As a parent, when you see little Johnny heading down a road that you know destruction is ahead, what do you do? Are you going to wait until the destruction happens and say, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. You should have asked. No, you interject yourself. Hold on. Let's not do that. I've got a few experiences in my life. And I'm telling you, this pattern that is revealing itself just ahead down the road, there's a collision fixing to happen. There's a train wreck about to happen, and you're on the train. I'm sorry to report, it's taken this many years for me to have shifted out of that dynamic and become a willing participant in seeking approval and inquiring with those who are overseers in my life, realizing the benefit. The great benefit. Okay? So I told you this was going to be a random thing. Now we're going to make a shift. If you didn't catch it then, get the tape. Or the download. Matthew chapter 5, right at verse 1. There's really not a lot, or I should say many, life-changing circumstances that you're going to walk through. But the ones that you do, that's the time to talk. That's the time to inquire. Not about which lawnmower should I buy at Costco, you know. But I'm thinking about changing jobs and moving out of town, or I'm starting to think about getting married with this guy or this girl. Opportunity about a house. I'm talking about significant things in your life. It you know, there's no geniuses in the bunch. But if we submit to covering, I'm going to tell you of a little situation. No names. Okay? Young man wants to travel, move across the country halfway, because he knows a man who he believes would be a good mentor to him. And so I get a call from his father, who lives across the country in another state. But he knows me, knows I know the young man, and you know, so he's, and I know the person that he's wanting to go and be mentored by. And so he starts down this road, and he's telling me how this young son's wanting to, you know, do this, and he's at a spiritual time in his life, and it's, you know, significant for the future, and you know, he wants to operate in the gifts and all these things, and he's sharing all this. And I'm listening. But there's a problem. His pastor, the man he calls his pastor, says, no. And now the father is upset with the pastor. But the problem is, the pastor is his brother-in-law. Familiar. Related. How could he hear from God? He's not even serious. Seriously spiritual? I don't know how to describe that. But anyway, he didn't have confidence in his spirituality. But the young man said, he's my covering. Okay? So I'm hearing this story, and he's bringing it all, blah, 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 right on down. So finally, I can tell he's done. I said, you done? Yeah. Okay, let me talk. Number one, what it looks like on the surface is not so in that situation. And so I'm going to tell you, I would discourage your son from making that move and going down there and looking to that gentleman to be his mentor. You would? I thought you knew him. I do. You've spent time with him. Yes, I have. He's a good man. But I'm telling you right now, I would not encourage that. All at once, it's like the lights come on. You mean to tell me my brother-in-law really could have been protecting him from getting into a situation? Yeah. That's the way I'd look at it. I thought we shifted off that already. Here, let's. Okay, Matthew 5:1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, Jesus. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't stop talking for 3 chapters. I'm not going to read it all. But many of the parables and the analogies that we often find ourselves referencing are in this one discourse. That started right there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're the salt of the earth. That was included in this, just a few verses down. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Remember that one? This discourse right here. You've heard that thou shalt not kill. But I tell you, thou shalt not be angry with your brother without a cause. This is in this discord. And one after the other, after the other, after the other, he just continued and continued speaking. Now let's go to the end of chapter 7. Probably the last two verses. Yep. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Wait a minute. He's talking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There were those among them, I'll hold the mic in front of my mouth. Thank you, Mark. There were those among them who had considerable religious teaching from the scribes, the Pharisees, their teachers, all that they had listened to. And they are saying, this is different. What is this? But wait a minute. If this is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is declaring unto them the things pertaining to the kingdom, how could there be such a difference? You mean there can be a contrast to how and what and the inspiration of those things that are being taught concerning the kingdom of God versus just opening up the pages and reading and whatever it was that the scrolls, the scribes, the Pharisees did? What is it that they were teaching? Yet that was the... You understand I'm using this word loosely. That was the religious system of the day. There were not many. This was it, where they were. And it came to pass, okay, next verse, 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Is that the last verse? Okay. So, Matthew is writing. He's writing concerning these accounts of Jesus teaching the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he's describing the response of the people. He's not describing his response. He's describing the response of the people. They were astonished at what he was teaching or how he was teaching. There was something about it that kind of flew in the face of all the things that they'd learned. But And I don't want to say that it was just something that spoke against, because he said, I came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And in other words, the place that the law was supposed to bring us to, I'm there. And now I'm leading and I'm teaching. And there is an inspiration. There is an authority. His choice of words. An authority. Authority is delegated. Authority was delegated from the Father, the Almighty Spirit, indwelling in the man, the Son of God. And so he who says, I say whatever my Father says for me to speak, basically paraphrasing, and so he is speaking the living word of God, not the documented words of God. He is speaking the living expression, that which lives, that which maketh alive. It was spirit in its origin. This is the same thing when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We begin to walk in a vein of his spirit and we communicate or sing or do whatever it is that we do outwardly as an expression of ministry. And there is an effect. That which is born of the flesh is, and that which is born of the spirit will be. It'll produce something that lives. It'll set in motion something that is alive. Alive in Christ. You with me? That's what I believe astonished these people. They're looking at each other like, why is it so different than the robed crew? He taught them as one having authority. You remember the little lesson with the Roman centurion. He had an understanding of dimension of authority. You know, he relayed to Jesus, I have an understanding of authority. I'm in a position of authority, and I say to this man, go, he goes. I say to this man, do. I recognize authority in your life. And, well, now, this is what's interesting. Was that a discerned authority? Was it natural authority? No, it had to be spiritual, right? Because we know where he's going. It wasn't like, wow, he's a real leader among people. He has authority, you know. No. But yet, this centurion, he's not baptized with the Holy Ghost. But there is some kind of discernment, operating in his life. He speaks out and says this, and he says, just speak the word. In other words, it's not needful for you to even be present where the sickness is. There is a sickness, and a man is dying. But it's not needful for you to go and be there, talk to him, lay hands on him, do anything for him. I recognize the authority that is resident within you. How that was possible, I don't know. But we are reading the account. Speak the word only. Now, the man, Christ Jesus, he is like shaking his head. Because he has not seen this kind of faith among all his people, the people of God, Abraham's seed. Okay? He hasn't seen it anywhere. So he recounts and makes this statement to the public. The Son of God, the man, Christ Jesus. Is exampling what it is that the sons of God are to become. In what he is walking in. In what he does, he does communicate at one point. Greater things, I don't know how you measure them, but he did. Greater things than these shall you do. Of course, we know that in our flesh we can do nothing. And so we don't seek power through humanity in some form. But we've come to know that the operation of God's Spirit in our lives is able to achieve, produce, operate in ways that Jesus operated. Now, there has to come agreement in us, I believe, as a believer. We have to begin to think that way. In other words, believe it. I don't recognize that that just happens overnight. Maybe it could. Maybe it should. I'm sure it has. But for the most part, there is a change of mind that comes over, this renewing of the mind that takes place as we pour over the scripture and as we hear and wait upon the voice of God to speak to us and declare things to us and the living word to awaken sometimes things that are dormant, falling asleep. Let's go to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter at verse 1. This is an, I believe this to be an action event. What I'm talking about is this setting. I'm not relaying to you a message. I believe this to be an action event. It came to pass. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 20. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They're believers. Once again, there is a different dynamic in what's going on in their lives and what's going on in the life of Paul. Now, he discerns something and a question comes to his lips. What do you think he's wondering?
Do you think he's just, you know, kind of seeking knowledge? That he would ask a question? Or do you think that he had already discerned these people don't have the Holy Ghost? There's a different dimension operating in their belief system even as believers. But the empowerment that should be there is not there. He asked the question. You're obviously believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, no. We haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. We have not heard so much as there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. He said unto them, "So unto then what were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." Okay, so now he's got them kind of pegged on where they are in the process. And so he goes on. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesied. Now, I would dare say the majority here have witnessed this kind of event. You've seen the progressive revelation that came to individuals. You know, there's people that reject it. There are those that would have, that did, matter of fact, when Paul was speaking about it for 2 years in some places, rejected and just continued to debate everything he had to say. Even though he would take them back through their existing development in walk according to the word, their history from Abraham on, and bring them this to this point, and they would reject it. Saying, "You're trying to undo everything that we are." Maybe sometimes that's necessary.
Maybe sometimes that's not an altogether false statement. Next verse. All the men were about 12. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Where's he doing this? At a church. Isn't that where we should all have the teaching, the understanding? Well, apparently not. He is doing what Jesus had done. Oh, by the same inspiration and spirit, he's saying, look, that which you are steeped in, a lot of it is filled with tradition. It's according to the law. He's trying to bring us past that point. This is where the law should take us. I am the fulfillment of the law, Jesus speaking. And so we know there's this progressive journey and path that ought to lead believers to a different dimension in him. Now, sadly, oftentimes we stop when they receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, they spoke in tongues. Oh, cool. 17 more received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our service this weekend. Put it on Facebook. And then we go out looking for some more. You know, that's like having a baby. Here, we'll set you here now. Let's go get some more. That ought to be, that is the beginning point of really leading and teaching. Now the teaching, it ought to change. What's received ought to change. Where it should take us as individuals ought to change. And does. Because that which is spirit will produce that which is spirit when it's received. Okay. Next verse. But when divers were hardened, different people were hardened in their hearts, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. Oh, they think they're different. You know, they think they're better. That's the statement. That's the one. They think they're better. Well, as Brother Curtis Johnstone shared with us in Selah the other night, that's what they said to him. But what his rebuttal was is, well, I am better off. I am better off. I'm not better. Better off, yes. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Next verse. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Next verse. And God wrought special miracles. By the hands of Paul. So we read about Peter's shadow being cast over. Change in believers. A place and a dimension in God that it is the operation and the giftings of God. It's not the operation of man. It's not the works of man. It's just the result of a communion, of a relationship, and an understanding, and a willingness to participate. It's his idea. It's not ours. Verse 12. This is an action event. Would you pray with me right now?
special miracles he did by the hand of Paul. That from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Special miracles. An action event. We've become so prone and desirous of the hearing of teachings, the hearing of words, when these words should produce an action event confirming the word with signs following. The laying on of hands to the sick. The casting out of unclean spirits. Because of the faith produced in the hearing of the word of God. Bringing us to an action event. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. The evil spirit wait upon you, Father. Ikata Yosho Mando. Yalamase Kiande Lehei. Kialamasi Kiata Hasho Mando. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All things are possible to them that believe and that call upon your name, Jesus. Without you, nothing is, with you, is nothing is impossible. Nothing to them that believe and that call upon your name. An action event. Jesus, the moving of your hand, the confirming of your word with signs, following to them that believe. There's believers in the house. There's believers in the house. There's believers in the house. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is an action event. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Paul I know. First name basis, like we were just talking the other day. But you? I don't even know who you are. And verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. That's a story we're telling. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There was a shift in the spiritual climate that brought about and evoked a repentance in the hearts and in the lives of people. Verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. Do you think that happened by the passing of a resolution? There was a spiritual draw on the hearts of people to begin to purge their homes, purge their lives. That God saw, and as he saw, he made it evident by his interventions and by his hand and the operation of his spirit among the people. They counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. That is a lot of books. If there was just one in a house, that's 50,000. No, that's the dollars. Sorry. But my guess is that they probably weren't worth a dollar back then. The community and the homes that this impacted. Next verse. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I saw something a week ago. I learned. I can't say that I had ever seen it before, but in the moment, it was revealed, revelation came to me, what was happening, what was taking place. Having to do with authority. I'm going to use the term anointing and authority interchangeably here. Okay. I've been participating in Kent now for probably 2 years, regularly, weekly. And more recently, I begin to observe something. Brother Miko Laksamana, Brother Jeremy Casa, and Reggie Selmar. I knew that. Sorry, Reggie. They've been functioning, working together as a leadership team there for a little while here now. And I've watched and observed and noticed, and I said to Miko, he'd take the mic and he'd start speaking. There was an anointing that would come upon him. There was the projection of authority there relative to his calling. And I was just making note of it. Not saying anything, just, oh, yeah, there it goes, yeah. And it was my observance that, you know, you can't produce that. But it is God affirming in the eyes of the people. Now, I'm going to go back to another account in my own life to share with you. I had served on the youth committee, which means the district youth board, for 8 years. And we were in a youth convention, and they asked if I would lead on the first night the worship service. Sure, I did that at our home church. I can do that. There was an anointing that came that first night. It surprised me as I took the mic and simply began to lead. On the second night, they looked at me and said, "Would you lead worship tonight?" And I'm thinking, man, I really stressed my voice last night, but, you know, if there ain't nobody else, sure. So I lead worship, and again, the third night, they're all looking at me, and I'm thinking, I don't have a voice left. We don't care. Just do that. Do it. Just you do it. And I go to my pastor, and here's what he says to me. He said, "Son, the Lord is affirming you in the eyes of the district. You will be the next youth president." That's what he said to me. That's exactly what happened. I was never acquainted with that. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I'm thinking, why doesn't he give me stronger voice then if he's affirming me in the eyes of the people? Because by the time I'm done, I have no voice, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't sing for weeks, months, I think. Now, here's my point. In his experience, he recognized the hand of God, the imprint. He was doing this in front of the brethren. For a purpose and a cause of affirmation, this is my choice. Now you can hear this and believe this, you can reject this. It would bother me. No. But my point being is I see this going on in Kent, and so I waited. Several weeks in a row. I don't care if Miko's just taking the microphone to receive an offering. It didn't matter. There was an authority that came on him, an anointing that would begin to project through the room, an elevation above all those things that had already transpired. Okay? Well, here we are, Easter Sunday. And he's going to be the speaker. And so he turns to the scripture and he starts speaking, and it's like, where did God go? What's the matter with me? This is what happens on this side of the microphone. Man, what's going on? I thought this was the direction I had. It sure don't seem like what I've been feeling seems to be absent. So first thing you do is you're checking yourself with God. You're looking back over the history of the week, and you're wondering, did I do something that, you know, and I don't know. And so you work, hopefully you don't go 45 minutes and carry us all through that. You know, be done, turn the mic over to somebody else. That's what he did. He looked over at me like, help! Now watch this. I'm thinking, I'm just there to, I'm the old white guy on the platform. A lot of visitors, they don't have a clue who I am. Does that matter to me? Not in the least. Does that matter to God? Apparently it did on Easter. Because when he handed me the microphone, there was an anointing and an authority and clear direction that brought the entire group into the altar. And then I'm realizing there's somebody here, maybe more than one. God is wanting to affirm me in the eyes of these visitors. Do you see that in our humanity, what we do is we compare and think, wow, so-and-so wasn't very anointed today, but ooh, that brother, he was anointed, you know. That's what we do humanly, not realizing that God has a much greater plan and a purpose.
So if one is singing one day and there's a powerful anointing upon them, it's God's purpose. Because you can't do anything as an individual to produce that. It's not the truth that you just need to pray more and fast more. That is not the truth. The truth is it comes by delegation from God for His purpose alone. Now, I clicked online and listened to last Wednesday night here. I hope you were here. I'm thinking by the number here today, some of you probably weren't. It's still online. Brother Johnstone was sick, stayed home, or the family was sick. Somebody was sick. He stayed home, turned it over to Brother Heiner. Brother Heiner takes the mic, opens the word, and I'm listening and thinking, this is good. I don't mean what he was saying. It was the authority and the anointing that had come upon him that night. So I listened to it, sent my little weekly comment back. Great job. Made a couple comments about very discerning and something, something. I don't remember what I said. And he responded. He said, I've entered uncharted territory. I have never felt that before that way. Now, here's my response. It is relative to your calling. I don't know why I feel the need that I've got to share all that with you. But it should bring some clarity and understanding. I've always believed, number one, it doesn't matter how talented somebody is in my eyes or how they've got it all together or how big their bank account is. You can't affirm anybody in the eyes of the people. Only God can do this. And this is why there's no need to explain all that, I'm sure. Just trust me. In time, God will always affirm individuals in the body of Christ by the anointing and giftings that become operable. Is that a right? Is that a word? Operable, thank you. I added a few extra syllables in here. In the body. And there are many things that ought to take place in the body. I remember years ago, there were a few places that I visited and met some of the folks. And I thought about, there was a couple of, now I'm not being unkind when I say this. There was a couple of old ladies that were in the church that seemed like they had more authority operating through their lives when they prayed than I ever witnessed that was coming across their pulpit. Now, I'm telling you this because authority comes from God. The spirit world recognizes spiritual authority. He doesn't recognize holy positions. This is why any believer in the body, all we should seek for is the right side of the yoke. All that we should ever desire for is to be in communion and in the will of God according to His purpose, His plan for me. That's when the building becomes fitly framed together, a holy habitation of God. That's why we can say, God is in this house. Oh, I feel the spirit of just rambling coming on me. Let's stand. I want to give God a moment. I want to open this altar and give God a moment. I'm not giving you a moment Are you a chance? I want to give God a moment here. This is an action event. I don't know where those words came from. I'm just telling you. This is an action event.
Here I cry, believe. God, send your spirit, God, not by might. just wanna walk with you. Where you lead me, Lord, we say,
just stand and join and sing.
Feel this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you.
Sing, King of my peace.
King of my peace. Feel this.
Somebody needs to declare that right now.
We just want to be with you.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I declare you my peace. I declare you my peace today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I can't say I've ever felt this before or even prayed along this line before. And I've spent the last 15 minutes or so waiting on the Lord about this. So if this seems strange to you, talk to Him. If you're here today, and you are, I don't even know the feeling, if it's heaviness, if it's worry, if it's fear, but you're dealing with, or you're in the throes of dealing with a family member who is needing care, and you're feeling the pressure of that, and you're having to manage through all of that and deal with that, I wonder if you would step out and come to the front and let us pray for you today. I'm not talking like somebody's sick. I'm talking about as you start moving towards end-of-life care with a family member. Maybe you're dealing with the pressures of that. These aren't things that the Lord would intend for us to carry alone. The Scripture's instruction is to cast our care upon Him. And to let Him care for us. Now, I understand that at times we, we have responsibility. I'm a son. I have responsibility to my father to care for him, to my mother to care for her. I understand that that's instruction from the scripture, but sometimes people look to us as the fix-all. We want you to fix this. I'm not the fix-all. He is. He can fix anything. He can help with anything. And so my responsibility is to release those things to him. Brother Heiner, Brother Kendrick, would you come and join us? Bishop, would you pray with these who have come, and would you join with them? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we speak your peace. We speak your comfort right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He did not intend for us to carry our burdens alone, Father. In fact, you instruct us to take your burden upon us. For it was easy, it was light. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us strength today. Give us strength today, Father, in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for participating. Why don't you just thank the Lord one more time for his authority and his anointing that's been in this room. We're grateful to you, Father. We don't take it lightly. The work of your hands, the work of your Spirit, Father, among us. We're thankful, Father, to participate with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray, go with each of us today. Let your Spirit be upon us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night.